From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.
And I'm Madeline Brand. Coming up, a huge art theft in Switzerland. What does a thief do with masterpieces worth $163 million?
First, the Pentagon today charged a top Al-Qaeda official and five other Guantanamo detainees with murder and war crimes in the attacks of September 11th. If convicted, the six could face the death penalty. NPR Pentagon correspondent Guy Raz joins us. Guy, welcome back. And the most prominent person charged here, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he's the former operations chief for Al-Qaeda. And has been described himself as the mastermind of the September 11th attacks. How about these others who are charged?
Well, of course, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is the best known of these six, Alex. But in addition, the military prosecutors are going to charge Ramzi bin al-Shib. He allegedly was the key intermediary between al-Qaeda and the hijackers. There's Ali Abdel Aziz Ali. He allegedly sent about $120,000 to the hijackers. Also, Mohammed Al-Qahtani, he's been described as the 20th hijacker. He didn't clear immigration at Orlando International Airport before the attacks. And then there are two others, Mustafa Al-Hawsawi and Walid bin Attash, also, of course, alleged to have been involved in helping those hijackers carry out the attacks of September 11th, 2001.
These must be some of the highest security prisoners at Guantanamo. I gather they've been there over a period of years, yes, all of them?
That's right. In fact, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has been there, I believe, since 2000. He was detained in 2005, but not all of them have been in Guantanamo that long. Some of them have been held at undisclosed locations by the CIA for a number of years, and it's only been about, I believe, 18 months since Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was transferred to Guantanamo.
So why has the Pentagon announced this now, Guy?
Well, Alex, the military is saying that because the prosecutors have enough evidence to start trying the accused, they can go forward with the trial. The other side of this, of course, is that none of the prisoners at Guantanamo at all have been tried. 12 of them have gone through pre-trial hearings, but nobody at Guantanamo has actually been tried, which is one of the reasons why the whole Guantanamo process has become so controversial, both at home and internationally.
So are you hearing anything there at the Pentagon about why they have decided now to go ahead with these particular, I would think, you know, these are very hard charges with a death penalty attached to it. I wonder if these might not be even more difficult trials than the ones that the Pentagon's already attempted.
Well, they've had pretrial hearings, and these will be difficult. And in fact, the whole process can take many, many years because all of these, all of the accused can potentially appeal any of the resolutions to their trials, and they ultimately can be appealed to civilian courts all the way up to the Supreme Court.
NPR's Guy Raz at the Pentagon on this news today that there are death penalty charges now against half a dozen inmates at Guantanamo. Guy, thank you.
Thank you.
We turn now to our legal analyst, Slate.com's Dahlia Lithwick. Hi, Dahlia.
Hi, Madeline.
Dahlia, these men have been held at Guantanamo for years now, so why has it taken so long for them to get to this point?
Two reasons, Madeline. One sort of legal, one tactical. The legal reason is simply that the Bush administration made the decision shortly after 9/11. They just were not going to use any existing legal system to try these folks. So they opted out of the sort of civilian system that we're used to. They opted out of the traditional military court-martial system and invented this whole new system of military commissions that's taken years and years and years to bang into shape. More or less, we've been bogged down in appeals and fits and starts, trips back and forth to the Supreme Court that have really precluded trials from happening at all. The tactical reason is that the Bush administration made a strategic choice after 9/11 to go and interrogate these high-value detainees, as they were called, for years and years rather than try them. That was a decision at the time that maybe made some sense. They wanted to fend off any future attacks. But what it meant was these folks were simply not ready to be tried until right now. It's also worth saying it's recently come up that part of that interrogation may have involved waterboarding, which is certain to become a legal issue if the trials ever take place.
So these charges, how do they compare with the charges filed against the other detainees?
Well, certainly some of the detainees are facing very serious charges, Madeline. Canadian Omar Khadr, who would have been 15 at the time he was picked up in Afghanistan, is facing trial this spring for having thrown a grenade at an American soldier. Salim Ahmed Hamdan, who is Osama bin Laden's driver, is facing serious charges this summer of delivering weapons for al-Qaeda. Of course, the difference now is these folks are being tried for 9/11. They're being tried for the actual conspiracy to take down the World Trade Center. And so it's a whole different order of magnitude, even from attempted murder of an American soldier.
There's been a lot of talk in the military and out of the military in Congress about closing down Guantanamo. Will that talk continue as these proceedings continue, or will that be put on hold?
Well, I think one of the reasons for the timing of these proceedings is to say, look, this is why we needed Guantanamo. All that stuff you've been watching for the past couple of years, shucking and jiving about possibly creating some system, now we know why we need a system. It's for this. It's to try the 9/11 conspirators. And it's going to be a way of not only saying this couldn't have been done in any traditional court, but a way of binding future presidents, essentially saying by the time these trials are up and running, it may be years from now, at which point a President McCain or a President Obama, a President Clinton is going to have to stand by the system that the Bush administration devised.
If these men are found guilty and they are sentenced to death, there is no death chamber at Guantanamo. So how would the executions be carried out?
Well, again, Madeline, it's important to emphasize, I think this would be years away, and so presumably that's not the immediate concern. For what it's worth, military justice provides for death by lethal injection, although it's also worth throwing out that the Supreme Court is looking at that question this term.
Dahlia, you mentioned the case of waterboarding, and just recently the United Nations has found that it is indeed a form of torture. So what about all this evidence that was collected during these interrogation proceedings? Would that be admitted, and would that be strenuously litigated on both sides?
Certainly the standards for what kind of evidence is admissible at Guantanamo is very fundamentally different from the standards of what's admissible at a criminal trial in a civilian system. But I'm absolutely certain that one of the major issues that will be litigated by the defense attorneys is the fact that these folks were tortured, that the confessions were therefore unreliable to the extent that they implicated one another. It was unreliable. So we're going to be hearing a lot more about that in the coming months and years.
Thank you, Dahlia.
Always a pleasure.
That's Dahlia Lithwick, Slate.com's legal analyst.